Hey everyone, welcome back. So we watched off 162. I'm Jeremy. Joining me as always is Shahid. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Actually enjoying myself. I got some unexpected news recently, work-related and like in a good way. Some of like that whole life-changing news. And then like today, I got holiday pay due to it being a national day of mourning. Got turned into a federal holiday, so.
You didn't have to work today?
No, I worked, but I got holiday. I could have took it off. I could have took it off and got paid normal, but I worked and got paid double.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Okay, look. I know the guy died.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not going to say anything bad about him.
But you're wondering what's the big deal?
Exactly.
This is the thing. Presidents don't die that much. So you don't remember, like, I think it was the last one, like, Reagan. So I can remember who it was.
No, I think wasn't Ford the last one, actually? Did Ford I thought Ford outlived Reagan somehow.
I thought Reagan outlived Ford. I don't remember. But it's kinda like presidents don't die that much. So, and more than likely, not thinking about Jimmy Carter, it's going to be a while until another one passes. Cause you know,
Jimmy's all the one.
Yeah, all the other ones are kinda like relatively healthy.
Well,
so yeah, it's kind of like it's no really.
Clinton's a toss up at this point. You never know with that guy.
He got them southern bones and he got money, so you know, like Jerry Jones was like a goblin. He'll probably live to 120. But no, I know people are like making the thing like, is it really a big deal? And I'm like, it's not really. I mean, like, yeah, like we don't. It's a president. We don't have a lot of them. We don't have a lot of them that are alive. So when they pass, it's a big thing. I know people were kind of making jokes saying, like, of course, that's the way. What better way to celebrate something than to cancel service? Everyone uses because people were mad, like, mail wasn't getting delivered. I got bonus money out of it. So I'm like, whatever. Like, that's how I basically was kind of like indifferent. You know, it's people who like George Bush. It's people who don't like George Bush. They can talk about that some other time. I just look at the benefit of I made extra money because of it. So that's how I felt.
Yeah. Well, at least something good will happen with Trump's presidency for you then down the line. What, 10 years from now, probably? I'm not calling assassination or anything. I'm saying the guy's not healthy and he's old.
Yeah. Death by cheeseburger. I could definitely see that. Yep, so.
Yep. And it'll be funny to see, because, you know, all of a sudden, George Bush was a good dude, and he didn't, you know, all this stuff. And I'm not, I know how this is going to sound, but he did some nasty shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of gotten glossed over.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm sitting there going, there's a dummy in the White House now. I can't wait to hear how they talk about him. That should be a lot of fun later.
You know, he was great on Home Alone, too.
It's
kind of like, yeah, like, unless you talk about stuff, it's not a whole lot of things you can say that's going to, like, sound warm and fuzzy. Like, he didn't have military service. He didn't have prior government service. He wasn't a philanthropist or anything like that. It's like, oh, I guess I like The Apprentice. I like that WrestleMania match. Like, what is there to talk about that's benign with him?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm sure people will try to find a way, but yeah. Yep. So like I said, work has been fun. I don't know how raises normally work. Like normally for us, like we get
not
one
like yours.
Yeah, we get it like yearly. It's like go up like 85 cents or $1 an hour. I get an email. Cause I was off a couple of days of work, so I get it. And none of my coworkers told me, cause I guess it's like, you know, we'll find out sooner or later. So I'm checking my emails for some other stuff, and I happen to see this. Oh, you know, congratulations, we approve this change of pay scale to be more competitive with outside, yada yada yada. And open up the PDF, and I see our new pay scale, and then I look at the old one. I'm like, that's a $20,000 difference, and I'm looking and I think I stopped breathing because I'm like, okay, this got to be first thing. I'm like, this got to be fake or I'm reading this wrong. But I'm checking old stuff and new stuff. And I'm trying to look around because I don't want to say anything. And I'm just like hyperventilating, like wow. You know, I called Darlene and told her and she couldn't believe it. I called my mom. I told my mom, and I'm sitting here and I don't want to say anything at work because I'm the only pharmacist there. And this just related to us. I'm not telling I want the text feeling a certain way. And I finally talked to my boss. He's like, oh yeah, you know, we've been working on this for a year, and it finally got approved on Monday. Merry Christmas.
You're like, well, I don't celebrate Christmas, so I feel like I should be giving this money back to you.
Yeah, it's kind of like, because it's
whatever,
like,
sir.
It's like, you know, it's something they've been working on, but we didn't know anything about it. So it's one of those things that just kind of like came out of, when I say come out of nowhere, it literally came out of nowhere. And it's just like, I still don't think it hasn't sunken in yet, because it'll probably be the first check I get with the new pay scale is when it'll sink in. But it's kind of like, yes, when I would say it's a life changer, it's a life changer.
Yeah, that's is more than some people make an entire year.
Yes.
That's crazy. And I have no good news to report. I'm actually sick, and I think I have a broken thumb or torn ligaments, one of the two. And Michigan didn't bother to show up for the Ohio State game, so I was in Columbia, South Carolina last week instead of Indianapolis, and now I've got a cold from it. So cool. The Netflix, they're deciding to cancel all the shows. Let's get into this one first. So congratulations to you. And yes, a big announcement coming. Shahid will be starting his own podcast network, complete with video capabilities. But on a real note, yeah, we'll start with the format, whatever. Netflix, was it last week, I'm guessing? Yeah, I believe it was last week now, that they decided to cancel Daredevil Season 3. I'm sorry, Season 4. So they're done. There's no more Daredevil at Netflix. Which apparently leaves Jessica Jones Season 3.
And The Punisher,
and the Punisher
Season 2.
Which is done. No, it would be Season 2, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so none of the show, like all those shows are done. I'm confused. Like, we know why they're doing it, because of the Marvel thing, or Disney, I guess. I gotta stop saying Marvel. It's actually a Disney streaming service. But what a weird thing to have happen. And then especially, I didn't see anybody complaining about quality of the shows. Defenders, sure. Iron Fist, yeah. The first season of Iron Fist, at least. Iron Fist 2. Not so bad, actually. I'm not all the way through, but I don't know. Maybe the bar was set so low, and that's why I'm like, yeah, not so bad. But I did not like Jessica Jones Season 2. Other people did. Punisher was great, so it's like, it's not a quality aspect, so I don't get why Netflix is canceling it, but then we know why.
Yeah, like, Netflix is canceling because it's kind of like, you know, you're now a competitor.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense for us financially anymore to do it. And then you kind of realize, like, Netflix is worth a whole lot of money. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, like, the gap between how much Netflix is worth and how much Disney's worth is not as big as people would think. And when I saw, like, it's not, I mean, it's a gap, but it ain't like, let me put it this way. Disney doesn't dwarf Netflix when it comes to, well, right. And that should tell you how much Netflix is worth. So they like, you know, we don't really need this anymore, especially getting your own business. So, yeah. And then it's always been the whole weird thing between Marvel movies and Marvel TV, where it's like they haven't really gotten along. And that's always been like a whole, you know, tripping point with that. Why is like people wonder like why, you know, people, you don't see the Marvel TV people in movies, and it's like they always say, well, it's logistics and stuff, and it's kind of like, no, they don't, you know, Marvel movies and Marvel TV were not going hand in hand. I know they were talking about having some of those characters show up in Infinity War, and they felt like it wasn't worth the effort trying to put them in there. So, and I guess the Marvel streaming service or the Disney streaming service is going to be more family friendly, which kind of like, if you go on that route, you can't really have Daredevil, especially Punisher on there. Like, I saw all the jokes me talking about, you know, this is Frank. Like, you saw John Bernthal with a bloody shirt talking about, this is the Punisher, and you're watching Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Like a Mickey Mouse logo in the back. And it's like, yeah, it is. It is a cognitive difference. Even though I always laugh, like, the true difference between the Netflix shows and the movie shows is the Netflix shows more blood and cursing. Because the Marvel, you don't see blood. You don't think.
Hey, hang on a sec. Okay, now we're recording again. You flayed it out for a second there.
Yeah. So. No, I was saying kind of like the only difference between like Marvel movies and Marvel TV shows is the as far as violence goes, is Marvel TV shows more blood and they curse more. Yeah. Because the Marvel movies are definitely violent. They're definitely killing people. They're just doing it like that whole PG-13 thing where you don't even notice it until after the fact. And with them having their own shows that they want to do anyway, I guess they want to have a clean slate. So, I mean, Hulu's an option if they want to go that route. Or it might just be... It just feels weird because it's not a quality thing.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's a... They can't afford it. It just seems like it's more like a politics thing. Like, you have shows that people actually enjoy a lot, and you're like, I don't care. I'm not doing them anymore.
Yeah, and that's the big problem, is the fans are the ones getting caught in between this. And that's what sucks, because Daredevil Season 3 was great. I know some people complained about this or that, but I loved every second of that and didn't want it to end, and especially I wanted to see what was coming next. I mean, Kingpin's still around. They're going to have a full-fledged Bullseye, it looks like, in the next one. Elektra's still floating out there somewhere, probably. So it's like, I don't know. It's such a petty thing. And like, I hope you're wrong about the TV movie thing. And this is just a logistics thing. And they're going to be like, hey, well, you missed us for a year. They're coming back on Hulu. Because didn't part of that deal, Disney has a stake in Hulu now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I couldn't remember. There's been so many TV deals that it's kind of hard to keep up with. So, Marvel they strive. Well, that was kind of their whole niche universe. Like, they created Marvel. Yes, Daredevil, all these characters were around to begin with, but that Marvel Knights thing that Joe Quesada and, you know, Kevin Smith, all those guys got together and created. That's what really got a lot of these characters off the ground. So you've got something that there's clearly, you know, I don't want to say a thirst for, but...
I mean, it's a desire for, and it's an audience for, but, I mean, to be honest, if Marvel themselves are going to get into a whole, we're going to have our own TV shows now, and we're going to have, like, big budget TV shows, and they have the X-Men. Yeah, they don't. I mean, to be perfectly blunt, they don't need the shows. Like, it'd be nice if they had the shows because people enjoy them, but it's not like Marvel has plenty of things going on. Like, you know, we didn't even talk about like releases that's coming out. I sent you the link. Like, they're gonna do a Shang-Chi movie.
Yeah,
because it's kind of like it's kind of like they can basically put out whatever they want, movie wise and TV wise, and be fine. Like, the fact that, you know, and the real funny thing is, as far as TV goes, for all the talk of like the Netflix shows, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is still the one that's watched the most, like, especially like world, especially like international. Like, it's, they have a huge footprint, and I think it says a lot that the fact that these Marvel shows are kind of like the Netflix shows are getting like sliced, and S.H.I.E.L.D. got renewed for 2 more seasons.
Yeah, that was strange when you sent me that, like, okay, because like, what we talked about before, that show had a perfect ending point. Mm-hmm. And then they suddenly decide to bring it back. Like,
yeah, not just bring it back, but like, we're going to come back and at least for 2 more years. And I remember before, it's like, we weren't sure they won't get this last season. So, but it's one of those things. It's like, you know, I think they're trying to streamline things all around, especially with streamers. They're like, they want everything on the same page and everybody on the same page, so you don't have to deal with questions like who's doing what or this person will show up and what. And when you have your own streaming service, and it's like, it's not like they're gonna have, you know, it wasn't nothing wrong with like Daredevil's budget, but if you're talking about doing like a Loki show and you got Tom Hiddleston, you know, you throw him money and you're gonna do like Scarlet Witch and the Vin, like, Paul Bettany ain't cheap.
Yeah,
like, we not. Yeah, it's kind of like if they're throwing a whole bunch of money at this right here, and they want to have it be a certain tone, I don't think they want to spend that time like dealing with the Marvel stuff unless they want to do it their way. Maybe like it's a contractual thing where it's like too much red tape for them to like do it the way they want to do it. I'm surprised they don't just put it on Hulu, because The Runaways is on Hulu. And that's not a problem. So I don't get, unless it's like more stuff that we don't know about, it just seems kind of like petty. Yes. To be perfectly honest.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, when you're talking about like streamlining everything, well, does that mean The Gifted, which I've not watched this year at all, that get in the axe then? You know, because that's, if they control X-Men, they're gonna probably want to control that with you know, the Polaris is on there to begin with. I don't know Warpath, but whatever.
I mean, they have like X-Men characters on that show. Yeah. So.
And they just say it doesn't count, or if they're just going to restart the X-Men anyways.
It's just weird, because, like, how are they going to handle the Fox stuff anyway? It's kind of like,
yeah.
I know people, like, wondering, like, how PG-13 Deadpool will look, because I think that's one of the whole rumors saying, like, you know, if it's received well, it'd be easier to incorporate Deadpool into the MCU. And, like, you have that there, you still got all the Sony stuff going on, so it's kind of like they're trying to get all their A's in a bunch, but it's not just them. Like, it's other people still doing stuff, so... It's just weird, because I know people before, they weren't worried, like, oh, you know, Netflix getting rid of them, because, of course, you know, Disney has their own streaming service, so they just show up there, and then Disney's like, nah, I ain't showing up here, so it's like, wait, then we not getting Punisher anymore? It's like, it's like, shows that are successful, normally don't get canceled, unless it's, like, a money issue. That's used, like, you know, it's kind of like they get too expensive or logistics doesn't work out or something like that. Like, that's normally the thing. Money's not an issue in this situation. This is more kind of like, I think it's just a battle of wills. Like, if Disney weren't having their own streaming service coming out, I'm sure we wouldn't be talking about these shows being canceled, because it's plenty of crap that does worse ratings on Netflix that costs more, that's still around, so...
I'm glad you said that, because have you seen any other show, like, before all this started going down, you never heard about ratings for shows. You never saw any analytics about...
Yeah, you always...
Now,
yeah.
All of a sudden, like, Iron Fist, the most watched show, I guess? The first week or something?
Yeah. The only time you heard about it was, like, when they justify why they pay Adam Sandler all that money, and it's kind of like, his stuff is the most watched stuff. But beyond that, you never heard, because, like, they don't release their metrics at all. So no one knew. It was just a guesstimate. But then it's kind of like you hear stuff here and there, kind of like you hear with the successful stuff. Like, you know, when they, like, they somehow Castlevania, like, you know, they basically came out and said, we overperform, so that's how we got more episodes for season 2 and why we all got renewed for season 3, because we did a lot better than they thought we was going to do. Like, so you hear the good things, or you hear, you know, stuff like Iron Fist, oh, people actually watched it, which, to be honest, I'm not surprised, because even though I didn't like it, I know a lot of people who did like it, so I know it's kind of like a acquired taste. It's weird, but it's like, you know, people like what they like. So, but there's always been cagey about that, as far as, like, you know, who watches stuff, who doesn't watch stuff. And now it's like, oh, you know, people actually watch these shows. And so I think it's kind of a thing. Like, people did watch the shows. It's just, you know, you got your own thing now. It doesn't behoove us to make any money. Netflix is looking at it that way. Like, we'll be fine without you. Like, when those shows came on in the beginning, it was definitely a boom for Netflix, because Netflix wasn't what it is now. So it's like, it helped Netflix more than it helped Marvel.
Yeah.
And now it's like Netflix is in that position where they don't really need anymore. And like I said, Marvel TV and Marvel movies haven't gotten along for a long time. All that like we saw what happened with the Inhumans and all that other crap going on. Like we heard all the behind the scenes stuff of how the MCU used to look before Kevin Feige had complete control. And it's like, yeah, that stuff just doesn't go away because you're successful all of a sudden. People hold grudges. People like, yeah, I remember how you treated me way back in the day, and I don't got to deal with you now, and I'm going to do my own thing. Like, sorry, Mike Coulter, if you're out of a job, but life goes on.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, Jesus. My head got in the way of what I was going to say. What else were we going to talk about? I've totally drew a blank here. I had something with Mike Coulter, but it didn't work, so...
Oh, well, we can continue talking Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
We can talk about movies as well. So,
yeah.
Shang-Chi is getting a movie.
Yep, that's a real Marvel character, everybody.
Yes.
So...
And I remember people were talking about maybe they might show up in Iron Fist, and instead, I guess since that's not going to be a thing, it's like, between that and the fact, like, oh... Minority characters, you can make money from them. let's get this Black Panther money from the Asians. We saw what Crazy Rich Asians just did. Let's go get it. So I'm not that shocked, to be honest. Like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, blunt and coarse, but it's fact. Like, people want to see themselves on TV. So if you have a character and you could do it the right way, go for it.
Yeah, so we're doing a quick read on this. He was part of Heroes for Hire. I don't know when, but I'm guessing that was later. But I didn't know he could make copies of himself. He's a superb athlete, master martial artist, ability to create duplicates of himself. Yeah, I'm reading this from Wikipedia. I'm not going to hide that. Because I just know he has a badass name, Master of Kung Fu. That's a badass name.
Oh, do you know the story behind that?
Yeah.
So basically, like, no, the whole thing, like, they wanted to have the rights of, like, the Kung Fu show.
Yeah.
And, like, I guess it fell through, so they decided to make their own character. So,
I don't know how that's legal, but I guess Kung Fu is just a public domain. I guess in the world of copyright, Kung Fu would be public domain, so.
I mean, like I say, you know, Marvel budget, so I'm sure they're going to hire, you know, the best Asian American talent they can get. You thought you saw people who came out for Black Panther, like all the actors they had, like they basically rolled out the red carpet and gave Ryan Coogler a blank ass check and, like, you know, do what you need to do. And then next thing you know, you make over $1 billion. Like, it made more domestically than Infinity War made. So that should kind of end. Infinity War was a damn monster. So imagine you do this whole thing because, you know, an Asian martial arts movie with a Marvel budget, like all the actors, like, you know, when we going to get our damn chance, they going to line up and down the damn, they'll be able to hire whoever they want, basically, to make this movie and try to make it as successful as possible because people want to see it. We'll definitely see it, not just the fact we're Marvel fans. We both like martial arts, kung fu movies. It's straight up, you know, what we enjoy and like. So it's like, if it's quality, it's going to make its own, it's going to print money.
So I saw a few lists of potential people, and one guy was Glenn from The Walking Dead. Was it Steven Yeun? Is that his name? Mm-hmm. Whatever. I was like, no. Just because he's already played like an iconic character, and it'd be kind of hard to see past that.
Hey, I mean, we saw past Chris Evans, and somehow we accepted him as Captain America once we saw him in Captain America. Because I know we've talked about it. It's still weird to think that Chris Evans is Captain America.
Yeah.
If you watch some of his old stuff, and, like, not even Fantastic Four, like, what's that movie with him and Kim Basinger and Jason Statham? Cellular.
You
remember that movie?
It sounds familiar.
It's like like a delivery guy, something like that? Like Kim Basinger's son or daughter is kidnapped by, no, she's kidnapped by Jason Statham, and she calls out on her cell phone random number and happens to go to his phone, and he has to save her. And like William H. Macy, he's this cop and everything like that, and he's running around trying to get a charge and keep service and stuff. He used to do stuff like that.
It does sound familiar, yes. So
somehow that goof became Captain America. And now when you think of Chris Evans, you think of Captain America. So, I mean, it's a zillion names you could use. People just thought about him because, like, he's kind of like people know from The Walking Dead. He's getting his, you know, his footprint in, like, movies. He's getting some success behind him. But it's like, you can... Marvel tends not to get... Well... Now they go after more famous people. It was like before, it was like they, you know, they went more like kind of unknowns, or like we just going to cast who he feels the best, regardless if they're star or not. It was surrounded with a bunch of stars.
I mean, but, are we just going to ignore the obvious choice?
Who's the obvious choice?
The guy that played Han. Do you know how bad that would be? Fucking cool.
He's going to have to, I don't know if he can learn how to fight at his age. You know he's almost, I think he's closer to 50 than he is to 40.
No.
Yes. He just ages. He just ages well. Yes. Sun Kang is not no spring chicken.
Man, I gotta clean up my life, I think. Are you kidding me?
Matter of fact, let me Google it now. He's 46.
Yeah. Okay. Wow, he's 2 years older than me. All right. Well,
he just aged very well. And then you remember, like, yeah, if Tokyo Drift came out a long time ago. it's like you have plenty of Asian American, wherever they want to go. You have plenty of men at that certain age that skilled in martial arts, skilled in acting. I mean, you could get Daniel Wu if you want to find somebody.
Yeah.
He can act and he can definitely do the martial arts skills. It's like they can get who they want. And it'll probably be somebody that we didn't think about. And, you know, Donnie Yen will be the villain or something like that. You know, like they can basically, they have a blank check about who they want to get or who they could get. So I'm not even, casting is the one thing I'm not worried about when it comes to Marvel at this point. Cause it's like, they know this and they want to definitely try to do it the right way. Cause it's like, you know, we want to do it the right way. We want to get this money and we want to get this representation.
Who's the one guy, and you know who I'm talking about, that was in every 80s action movie? The one Asian guy he's the guy that was eating the Snickers in Die Hard to start.
He needs to be in it. Yeah.
If he's still alive.
He's still alive. Okay. I think he's like retired.
Yes.
Because, yeah.
A cameo sitting there drinking tea, something. He has to be in it.
Because he popped up in everything.
Yes, everything.
And he was always like, he always be that henchman that beat up the hero. And so the hero gets captured, then dies later on when they had a rematch.
Yeah.
So, yes. And it's just funny just thinking about the whole, it started with Iron Man. Mm-hmm. Iron Man was not a big deal. And now it's like,
character. Yeah.
Yeah. And now it's like, oh, you know, we're going to have a Shang-Chi movie.
And that's actually be somewhat positive about it. So it's gonna be like,
yeah. And it's going to be like, it's going to probably be very good, make a whole bunch of money. And it's like, oh, well, you know, that's what Marvel does. It's almost impossible that we've gotten this for, like, a lot of things had to go right for this to happen. And a lot of things had to go wrong for other people's for this to happen. So, yeah, it's funny because I felt the same way. I was thinking about hearing that. And, like, you know, because Captain Marvel trailer dropped. And I think Captain Marvel trailer is just the fact that it's the movie that's happening before the movie that everyone wants to see.
Yeah.
I think it's the reverse Ant-Man problem. Like, Ant-Man had the problem, like, you know, you just saw Infinity War, all this stuff. And it's like, oh. And even though it's like it's going to mean something in the future, like the scene, like, oh, you just had a big ass dinner and now you're going out to get like a freeze pop. I'm like, a freeze pop is nice. I just ate 16 hamburgers. I'm ready to go to sleep.
Yeah.
And this is kind of like, you know why it's coming out, because she's going to matter and be important. And I think they're just getting punished by the fact that it's the movie before the Avengers.
Yeah, well, even Ant-Man and the Wasp did well anyways. So,
like the movie's going to do well. I think people just kind of like, I think they'll be more excited when they see it than they are now, because I think now it's kind of like, okay, it's a girl. She look cool. Lazy BB. Even though I'm like, she's flying around in space, you know, blowing up spaceships. Like, that's cool looking. I think people kind of like jaded from the fact that it's not an Avengers trailer, and like, you know, talking about some of the CGI look kind of wonky, even though we bring it on ourselves, like, you know, we want to see everything as soon as possible, but then we get mad if we see it too soon.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, for Marvel especially, they did this themselves. And I mean, they could have had Captain Marvel come out, what, this year or even before. Well, all right, wait a minute. I have to back off of that actually, because we don't know if it could have come out before Avengers. Because we don't know how it ties in, so.
Yes, you figure, like, you know. Yeah, I think the whole thing is kind of like, timing with them has been funny with a lot of stuff, because Black Panther got affected multiple ways, both the character and the movie, by if they can get Spider-Man or not.
Yeah, because you were saying he was supposed to be in more of
He was supposed to be born in Civil War until they got Spider-Man, so he got pushed back. And then I'm sure they thought Black Panther would be big. Trust me, if they knew Black Panther was going to be as big as they was, they would have they probably would have done a lot of stuff different in Infinity War because they would have had him in there more to begin with. So I think it's kind of like, you know, victim of their own success type thing. And like they still stuck to the whole, you know, we do 3 movies a year. So they had done, you know, and like Ant-Man and the Wasp was already in the bucket. So it was like, it makes more sense for Captain Marvel to come out before Avengers than Ant-Man and Wasp to come out before Avengers.
Hey, what was their third movie this year?
Oh, Ant-Man and the Wasp.
It was Ant-Man.
It was Avengers. Black Panthers.
Oh my God, that was just last February, wasn't it? It hasn't even been a year. Wow.
Okay. That's the thing. Like everything came out relatively early. So by the time, you know, July was here, they already did 3. Like they didn't have their whole like November move. Like before, like other years, they've had movies come out like November. Like it's normally been like, you know, we have something in May, we have something in like July, and then we have some like October, November. This year was like, you know, February, May, and July.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of strange, actually, because I thought that was a good way of going about it. But then, didn't that Nutcracker movie take the spot of like where Thor was the year before?
Maybe. Yeah. Like, they got so much stuff to just kind of like, because you think of like, you know, Marvel's a big part of Disney. It's not the only thing going on in Disney. Sure. It's like they got to kind of space out stuff with, you know, their big animated or reanimated stuff and their Star Wars stuff. And you just think about next year. They have The Lion King, Aladdin, Star Wars, and Avengers all coming out next year. You know how much money Disney's gonna make?
Yeah, I don't think Star Wars will do as well as the last two, because that last one seemed to piss a lot of people off.
But it still made a boatload of money.
Yeah. But so I'm just thinking this third one, and I'm saying this now because of how it's not exactly recent, but you know, people like to complain and then go and do it anyways. Well, I already saw the other two.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, J.J. Abrams coming back, and it's like, oh yeah, well, he's the one that did Force Awakens. It's the one I like, even though they complained about him when he did Force Awakens. But that's another thing. But it's like, that's going to make the money it make, regardless of like Jumanji coming out around the same time and making a whole bunch of money. So it was like, like those movies gonna, like Dumbo is going to make money. The Lion King is going to make all the damn money in the damn world.
Okay, so
like
I know people. Oh, go ahead.
I know people kind of like, you know, do we really need to see this? Yes, it's not like one. They doing it for the kids. They really doing it for the adults. Because The Lion King, when it came out the first time, made a boatload of damn money. And now we all got money. Like, all the teenagers and kids who saw it then are all grown-ups now. And, like, we get to see it. Like, you saw The Jungle Book. I saw The Jungle Book.
I have not seen The Jungle Book yet.
You haven't seen that?
Man, what did I tell you about that list of stuff I got on my...
I thought you saw that, but I'm like... Anyone who saw The Jungle Book and saw how amazing that was, and then you see the trailer for The Lion King, and you think The Lion King ain't going to make money, I'm like, yeah, you go ahead, stay home if you want. You lost your damn mind. That movie's going to be a monster.
So one question I do have, and I never thought about this. Now, I know Jungle Book was not a shot-for-shot remake. I don't know who it was, if it was Cam or if it was Jeff Brown. Somebody mentioned that this looks like it's going to be a shot-for-shot remake of it.
No, they already said they're going to have like different songs and riddles. No, because somebody asked about The Jungle Book, and it's like, no, they fleshed out some stuff, and they changed some stuff, and like, you know, so, no, they just, they could easily do that if they wanted to, but Jon Favreau knows what he's doing. They already know, like, no, I know how to change and alter it to make one, like, it's just, I'm just glad that James Earl Jones is alive to still do this. But it's like, Disney is just making just money over, like, dollars over dollars. So their biggest thing is finding time to maximize money, because we have all these big franchises. And it's not like it's going to get any better, because, you know, it's not like they might stop making Star Wars movies involving the Skywalkers. They're not going to stop making Star Wars movies. They still going to, like, make these Disney movies, and Marvel's going to have to, like, you know, The biggest issue Marvel is going to have to deal with is success, because it's kind of like we had to do stuff when we didn't have our biggest characters, and now we have our biggest characters. You know, how do we handle that? How do we handle this? Like, how do we handle the stuff from Fox? We focus on like the X-Men and Fantastic Four. How do you handle like Aliens, Predator, this thing called Avatar? Like, I know people make jokes like that's still the number one movie of all time. They're still making more of them.
Last time I checked,
Disney likes money, and people saying like, well, who's going to really see this? Everybody beside us is basically going to see those. Like, that movie didn't make almost $3 billion just from America.
I will say this, and I'm in all seriousness, and it kind of goes with the Netflix part. I wonder if some of this for that Disney service, if they start making movies for that. I mean, why not? If you've got all, you just, I actually had forgotten all about all that other stuff for Fox. So why wouldn't it all just be under, you know, you could do theatrical releases, but you can only release so many movies.
Yeah, I mean,
you can release 20 a week if you want, but they're not going to be successful.
And Netflix has shown, like, you can release movies on there and people will watch them. And a lot of directors like doing stuff on Netflix. So, like, I can do the type of movie I wanted to do without theater restrictions that I would never be able to do in the theater system. And people still watch it. Now people make money like that. What's the movie coming out? Roma or something like that. So it'll be like this Oscar movie coming out, and it's coming out on Netflix. You know, like, big time directors are going, like the Scorsese movie that's coming out, I guess, what, next year, like The Irishman. It's going to be a Netflix movie. Like, all the movies people complain about, this whole, you know, they don't make them for the movie theater anymore. They're making them on Netflix now. So it's like, if Netflix is doing it and Amazon is doing it, why wouldn't Disney do it? It's like, they got the money. They want to get prestige and stuff. It's like, oh, you want to make this weird-ass movie the way you want to, and you just need a smaller budget? Go right ahead. Yeah. Why not?
Yes, and that's like I see. I looked up Roma, and I was like, oh, cool, depressing movie about kids. Cool, that's Oscar bait. That's what that should be called, actually. Anyways, but no, that makes sense. Like, and you said that's coming out on Netflix, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I mean, why not? I don't know. It, like, I'm just thinking, like, the Marvel, even like some of these Predator movies, because that Predator movie didn't do that well.
Mm-mm.
And that, if I have to, I'm not going to see another Aliens movie in the theater. Not for Covenant.
And yeah, then, but if Ridley Scott wanted to do one and put it on like Disney Plus or something,
right,
then why not? Like, that's why not? Because people, I still, like, I've caught myself, and I always wonder, like, Netflix put out so much stuff you don't even watch. But they realize if you start watching one thing, you'll watch more than one, because you'll watch this. And it's like, oh, people who like this may watch this, and you didn't discover movies like you didn't think of. Like, I saw that Salma Hayek action movie by accident, because I was watching something else. Oh, you might like this, and I'm like, wait, Salma Hayek did an action movie? Wait, Antonio Banderas has like two or three Netflix movies? I didn't know about this. Oh, Such and Such is here? Like, that action movie with Iko Uwais and the other people from The Raid, I heard about that reading an article on like The Ringer talking about other stuff, and I happened to watch this, and I'm like, why aren't people talking about this movie? This movie is awesome. And then I realized it's so much stuff out, it's almost impossible to keep up with things.
Right.
And I think that's the biggest thing, is kind of like stuff just falls through the crack. So it's just tough. Like, but yeah, that's the nature of a lot of entertainment. It's kind of like before you try to wish you had enough shows that were quality. And now it's like you wish you had enough hours to keep up with all quality. Cause it's just, if you say it's nothing on TV, you're insane.
Yeah. Yeah,
at this point,
like, now a lot of times now it's like there's not enough on TV, or that there's enough on TV, but man, that's a time requirement. So, like, I still have not watched Titans. I'm paying for this damn service. I can't even get to the shows I'm trying to watch. I mean, that's crazy to me. But I mean, there's so much, man. I know it just seems like we get to this every time in our shows, but there's so much. And I don't know how the hell we're supposed to watch all this. Like, I'm waiting. Is it next week? All the CW shows are done for a while.
After this weekend is the crossovers episodes.
Right.
Sunday. Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'm looking forward to those taking a break, just so I can catch up on something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I've even gotten rid of Supergirl in there, so. You know, I've eliminated one. That's still four, so there's 4 hours, and we can go into this every time. But like Titans, I'm not even sure what episode that's on yet.
I think it's either six or seven. Yeah. I'm too behind.
All right, so there's 7 hours more I got to go through. Like I was saying before, I got to watch Narcos. I got those bunch of movies on Netflix to get through. A DVR full of stuff. I mean, I got other shit to do. And then Elise actually likes watching me play Red Dead. So she's like, "You gonna play a game?" I'm like,
That game is hilarious.
Oof, I just marvel at how technologically advanced that game is.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy what you do in this thing.
It's the reason why, all them almost slave man hours they put in served a purpose, because it's like you could tell there was a lot of work was put in this game. And then it's funny when you think, not even like comparing Nintendo days, if you like Grand Theft Auto 3.
Uh-huh.
Which blew people's mind when it came out. And then you compare that to this, it's like, oh, we learned how to make fire. Y'all made an atomic bomb.
Yeah.
Like, it's just amazing. Like, you know, and I've played a little bit, I haven't played in a while, but I've been trying to be this whole, you know, I'm going to be a good guy, do the right thing. And it only bit me in behind one time because this one guy saw me commit a crime. And I was like, you know, don't say nothing. And I won't shoot you. And he was like, okay, I won't. And then he ran away, and then the mission failed because he told the cops. So the next time it happened and the same situation came, I hit him in the face with a pistol and then told him not to say anything. And it worked.
Yep.
But I felt bad. Like, not I didn't want to do it, but it's like, you know, I'm not taking any chances. Like, I'll be noble and reasonable if I can, but if you push me, I got no problem pistol whip you. I'm not the type, like, I'm going to tie somebody up by some train tracks and then be all... Some of the stories I heard, what some people do are, like, sadistic. Like, that makes me wonder about, you know, I just grab a hooker, tie some train tracks, hopefully somebody come to help so I can shoot them and rob them and then set them on fire. Like, you sound like you need to see... I know it's, like, video games are released, but, like, if you... That sounds like some purge shit. Like, some of the stuff I hear people, like, doing and plotting everything. And the one thing I did, and I laughed at, like, you know, if you hold one of the buttons down, you go, like, cinema mode. So you can just go through your mission. And I did that, and then I stopped doing it, and I was trying to park my carriage, and I accidentally ran over a dog, and I failed the mission.
Oh, really?
Because they said the cops were alerted, like the law enforcement were alerted. I guess, you know, somebody saw me run over a dog and told the cops.
Yeah.
It was an accident, but I was like...
My big fail was I went to get on my horse, and a guy was standing next to a light post. I went to hit Y to jump on the horse. I started choking the guy. And I just went, ah! I was like, no! And all of a sudden, because if you're in New Denis, which is apparently just New Orleans, or Saint Denis, then... that's cool. I don't know, when did I peter out? So
when you said you when you get to Saint Denis.
Oh, all right.
I like, oh, he went to Saint Denis and then he got kidnapped by the Cajuns.
Yeah, well, y'all, have you gotten to the mission where it's you and the black guy going, you have to rob somebody? You have to rob the house?
No, I have not. The last mission I got to is when we went into town to get some supplies, and then one of your lady friends gets harassed by John.
Oh, okay.
Like, okay. One is like your black lady friend gets, you know, she gets accosted by somebody. You come out there, be all tough, like, you get your damn hands off. Or, like, whenever it's like that, I'm always aggressive. But I don't pull my gun out for it. I just talk trash at first and then work. And then you go upstairs and beat up the guy and then get a bath and then leave.
Okay.
And that's the last mission I did.
Well, this was a part that, and you know me, I'm not a prude. I will always say this. And I guess I'm still stuck in like a mentality of watching these games. I can't remember what his name is. Timmy? Tommy? One of the guys. Anyways, he's the sole black guy. Because the other guy's a mix of Indian and black. So, It's him. And they're riding, and he starts dropping the N-bomb. And I'm like, okay. And then later on, when you finally get there, he's supposed to be the distraction. Well, all these bumpkin-ass white guys come up, and they start saying, hey, get out of here. And I'm going, what's going on right now? Like, this is a video game. And, of course, luckily, you get to kill them all, so a little cathartic, I guess. But it was just a shocking point of that not only just technologically advanced, how technologically advanced it is, but maturity level. I mean, I know there's Grand Theft was a San Andreas with like strong, with like real strong language, and then five they were swearing all the time. But this one was more, and there's still like topical stuff. Like, just because it's in a Western doesn't mean Rockstar didn't work in their own, you know, I don't want to say the political agenda. That's not what I'm going for. But, you know, like talking points, whatever. So that all played into it, but I was just shocked. And
they, from everything I've seen, like, they put a lot of work in this game, and they were proud of the work they put in, and they wanted to make it feel authentic as possible. Because it feels like you're almost playing a documentary. It doesn't play like a video game. Like, everything's deliberate. When you hit your bunny golf, get on your horse, you tie the horse, you hop on. Like, everything is like, you taking your time.
Yeah.
You know, but you rob somebody, you got to turn the body over, go through their pockets, hope somebody don't see you. It's not like you just hit a button and then boom, you got the money, you keep on moving. It's like, no, you actually got to go through their pockets and see what they have, and hopefully nothing bad happens. So I'm going to try to play more of it when I have some time, because I'm definitely enjoying it, but I want to take my time. And I've just learned, it's funny, because like, I do mission stuff, and then I go off the beaten path and try to help people. First time I try to help somebody that was getting eaten by a wolf, got there too late, killed the wolf, and skinned the wolf, and got, you know, his fur. Next time, somebody was on his horse and got attacked by a bear, got there too late to save him. Bear almost killed me. Killed the bear, you know, got all this bear meat and the bear. I'm like, okay, I'm doing all fine. I see somebody else. Their trailer gets stuck, and I try to save him. I die, so I lose my wolf stuff and bear stuff. Like, after that, like, you know what? If I got anything valuable, I ain't saving nobody.
That's exactly what I do too.
I'm minding my damn business. Like, you on your own, Bubba. Like, I'm minding my business. So I get back to camp, because I ain't losing my stuff.
It does. And say
it's just
something.
Funny how. Oh, yeah, it's just funny how. What a human thought process that is, because it's kind of like, I'm altruistic and helpful until it inconveniences me too much. And then I'm just real selfish. Like, you know what? Forget all this charity. You're on your own. Welcome to the Wild West. Like, if that's not a human thing, I don't know what is.
Yeah, wait till you get further in the game and you get more choices like this. And it took me a couple times to where if someone's out there, I was just robbing them. And put your mask on. Before you do anything, put your mask on. That way, even if someone sees you, you don't have to tail them. They'll go and like tell, but they don't know what you look like.
Some masked man got me. Yeah, right. It's like you use your mask the first time you have to do an admission, and then you don't think about it. It's like, wait, if I got a mask on, he's like, Batman don't walk around without his mask on, so why am I doing that?
Yep. And it didn't occur to me that I didn't think it was that advanced that if you knock somebody off and then, you know, you just leave the body, whatever else, that, you know, if the computer players or computer character sees it, that they wouldn't say something. So now, it's like, oh, well, if you knock them off, put them behind a rock, they don't see it, and everything's fine. So I kept getting busted. I never got caught, but I had to keep, you know, paying off my stupid bounties and all that stuff. So, yeah, it... Like I said, man, just not something I was expecting. And I knew it was going to be big when it was two discs, but I'm only in chapter 3. And somebody said, I'm in chapter 6. And I went, what do you do all day? Because it hasn't been out that long.
Play. And I have a job.
Oh, man. But, so, well, it's a quick aside, but...
Yeah.
So, in our time off, you saw some movies.
Yes.
All right. I know I said you didn't want to talk about it, but what did you think of Overlord? Because I was very. I thought it was something else when I saw it in the movie theater or when I saw the preview. And I was curious what you thought.
Yeah. I enjoyed it, but it was weird because it was almost like. It was like a straightforward. I thought it was gonna be like a sci-fi type war movie, or like horror movie with war undertones and lead toward a sci-fi. And it was like if you saw Saving Private Ryan, and it just happened to have zombies in it, but they just played it straight. Like I was surprised by how straight they played it. Like it was just like a war movie that just happened to have zombies, and they didn't play for jokes. They didn't play like winking at the camera or people losing their mind. Like people were like spooked out, but it was like normal thing. And I was like, yeah, it would be hard to kind of market this movie because it's like you market it one way, but it's not really that. So if you're expecting like Wolfenstein, you're going to be disappointed because like this is kind of too serious. But you think it's like a serious war movie and then all of a sudden like you see somebody skull and like neck talking to you, you're like, what the hell am I watching?
Okay.
I think that was the thing. I think it was kind of like the tone kind of threw people. Like I enjoyed the movie for what it was and I was just surprised because they just played it like straightforward and everything. And it's like we always say we don't get like movies like this anymore. And then we got it, and people don't see it. And it's like, that's why we don't get movies like this. I was surprised, you know, Fitz was in it from S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, I didn't even realize. I didn't even realize he was in it. And not the main guy, not the black guy, the other guy. That's, whose son is he? I think he's Kurt Russell's son. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because no. Because he looked for me, I'm like, I've seen that face before, and I could not picture where I seen him. Like it was something real familiar about him. Like I've seen him in something else, but I couldn't picture. And then I remember I was reading about IMDb, but I'm like, oh, okay. Like I wonder why he stood out.
It wasn't Scott Eastwood, was it?
No.
No. When I saw that, when I saw the preview, I was like, wait a second, did someone remake Frankenstein's Army? Which is a. I don't think it's German, but it's overseas movie, Norwegian maybe. And basically, these old Polish soldiers go into whatever concentration camp, and this crazy ass German doctor has made all these monsters in there. So when I saw this, I was like, "This looks like they remade it." I was all excited, and then it was something else. I went, "Okay, that's kind of weird," but. Just obviously, I didn't see it. So that's one. That's one for the TV or Netflix. So then you also
Widows.
Yeah, which I forgot what even came out.
Man, that was so good. That movie was so damn. That movie was so damn good. Like you get an Oscar, Oscar winning director. You get a whole bunch of great actors and actresses, and you do like a heist movie, like. You know, like do a genre movie if you have a whole bunch of talent and you just realize like I'll just say one. If Viola Davis was white, they talk about her like she's Meryl Streep. Like, Viola Davis is goddamn amazing, like, as an actress. Like, and I know it's, like, cliche to say, like, Viola Davis is great. No, Viola Davis is real good. And it was just weird because her and Liam Neeson are, like, married.
Yeah.
And they, like, lovingly married. Like, he grabbing titty and everything and tongue kissing. It's just, good like, not be- yeah, it's like, you know, they in love and stuff. It's like, you're not used to seeing that. And spoiler alert, them using Liam Neeson the way they did basically throw you all cool. When you think of Liam Neeson as like, you know, he's a hero, you can trust him, he do whatever he do for his family. But that's when Liam Neeson is the star of the movie. When Liam Neeson's in a movie and he's not the star, he always betrays you.
Oh, I never thought about that.
Think about Batman Begins. You see Liam Neeson, he's training Bruce Wayne. He almost dies. You forget all about him. And then he shows up an hour later. He's the villain.
Oh.
So this movie is the same thing. Like, you thinking, like, you know, yeah, spoiler alert, he's the villain. he's having an affair with the wife of one of his ex-teammates that he murdered all to steal money. Yes, and had a baby, because the child that he had with Viola Davis gets shot by the cops.
Oh, and he blamed. God yes. Damn, really?
Yes, and they show all this through flashbacks. Like, you know, he gets pulled over because they thought he was speeding or something like that. He's reaching to get his phone. The cop thinks he reached for a gun and shoot him. So Viola Davis is mad because it's like, you know, I lost my son, and this is what I get. Liam Neeson's mad because he's like, if he have a mixed race child, this would have never happened. So he pissed and he blamed himself. So yeah, he sets up his team for them to all die, so he can steal this money and start his life over with his new girl, his new baby.
Jeez,
you see, Liam Neeson's a hero. So think about you seeing that, and it's like, yuck! Like, people were pissed. when that reveal happened, because it's like, you know, like, certain people you used, like, if it's like a norm, like if it's like I'm trying to think, like Anthony Hopkins or Michael Shannon, of course they're villains. Michael Shannon almost even when he's a hero, he looks like a villain.
Yeah,
you trust Liam Neeson. It'd be like if Tom Hanks or Harrison Ford betrayed you. It's like, you just feel dirty. Like, how dare you? So she's good. You remember the tall girl from Volume 2 Guardians of the Galaxy? The golden one, like, she was like,
oh, yeah,
the
yeah, head, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
like Elizabeth Debicki. She's awesome in this. Like, she is real good. Like, she, cause, you know, I think she's like John Bernthal's wife, who's barely in there for like 30 seconds, and she has to figure out how to, like, she's getting abused by him. She's getting abused by her mom. The mom is like, you know, if you can't do anything for money, why don't you be an escort? You know, you got the looks, like, you know, go out there and make a pretty man happy. Like, her mom is basically like a guy in her, yeah, and so she has a great character arc, and she is tall as, like, she's 6'2", and she's walking around like 5-inch heels half the movie. So imagine somebody almost the height of like LeBron James, just, you know, looking like a supermodel, just walking around scheming people. So she's in there. Michelle Rodriguez is in this, and she's doing like, and it's a shame you think about her like Fast and Furious, and you realize like Fast and Furious don't use her as well as they could.
Oh no, not at all.
Cause she's real good when she gets the chance to. She doesn't get the chance to. Colin Farrell's awesome. He's a dirtbag. Him and Robert Duvall dropping end bombs. Like, we gotta keep this
Jesus.
Because he's like this old retired, retired politician, and Colin Farrell's like, you know, going to take the job, and like that whole, you know, it's a lot of stuff going on in this movie. It's not just like a bank heist movie. It's a lot of stuff like involving, like, you know, women being in power. It's a lot of racial stuff going on. The dude from Atlanta is in it, playing like an alderman. And to wrap it up quickly, Daniel Kaluuya from Get Out. That's one of those scariest things I have ever seen. Like, he's like intense. Like, he comes off like a damn psycho, but it's like you cannot keep your eyes off of him. The first time you see him, he got two dudes locked in a trunk and they're busy rapping. You don't know why they're rapping or anything going on, so they unlock the trunk. Two guys come out, and like I guess they were there like supposed to be checking the money that got stolen, and he's talking like, what happened? Don't lie. He's eyeballing them. He's like, oh, you were rapping something? Go rap. Start rapping. So the dude start rapping. He's just looking at him, and he start bobbing his head. And as soon as the song's over, he shoots him in the head. Tells the other dude to start running. Then shoots him too. He meets a guy in a wheelchair, kicks the dude out the wheelchair, and starts ice picking him in the legs. Like, oh, you probably can't feel that. So then he ice picks him in his cheek. He's like, oh, so I guess that's where you can feel. Like, he's doing stuff like that.
Wow. This is all. Yes. This is all Widows.
This is all Widows. Yes. All this is happening with Widow. Like, this is, I think it's like 2 hours and 15 minutes. It does not waste a second.
Like, I was going to say, it sounds like they packed a whole lot into this movie.
They certainly did. It's good a Lord. Lot of stuff going on in this movie, and it all fits. Like, this was an awesome ass. It's an awesome ass movie. I don't even want to keep talking about it because there's so much stuff, and I'm sure I'm missing some of it. But it's like, that's it's right. A great movie. The people who are in it are great. And definitely goes, like, it's. I remember when I saw the previews and I was like, well, I didn't even hear about this. Like, this, like, it's going to be an awesome movie. And it was an awesome movie.
Oh, well, hopefully the next one's awesome. You saw Creed 2, right?
Uh-huh.
All right. No spoilers, by the way. Okay. I've not seen this one yet. So, it's still one I do want to get to. What'd you think of it, just overall? Because Creed 1, I didn't see in theaters. You told me how great it was. And I remember where I was when I finally watched it and just how into the movie I got because it was that good. Does it come in the same little less?
I will say this. From a technical movie standpoint, it's not as good as the first one. But as far as stuff hit, like as far as like the emotional impact, yeah. Like when stuff hits, it hits. It's probably like almost two or three times where I almost like crying. Like it's some sad emotional parts in it. And I will say this, if you can see in a movie theater, definitely see a movie theater, because the fights are way more ruthless. Like it's like if you remember watching like Rocky 3 and Rocky 4
like those,
like I'll to about spoil, like some of those things people were like going like holding themselves like they got hit, like people was oohing and gnawing, screaming, because the way they filmed, like it was just impactful. And it's weird because I'm trying to talk while I was spoiling it. It almost get a point where you're for Drago.
Oh boy. Okay.
But it's the way they do it makes sense. Like you can see both sides of it. Dolph Lundgren was awesome in this. He wasn't in a lot, but he was real good in it. It was like everything he did kind of had weight and stuff like that. Rocky just made me feel sad. Not because he was bad, but it's like you forget he's older now than Burgess Meredith was when he started doing Rocky movies.
That's true, yeah.
And think about Burgess Meredith looked like he was like 105 years old. So like, okay, yeah, he was old and he looked old. Like Sylvester Stallone's old, but if you see him in Expendables, you don't think him as old. But you watch him in these Rocky movies, like, yeah, he got a whole bunch of city miles. And I think it's like he said this is the last time he's going to do a Rocky movie. Even if they do more Creed, he's not going to, like, he basically said he's done. So, yeah, I was definitely, it's not as good as the first one, but it definitely has some more impactful parts than the first one. It's got some depressing parts too. It's like if you seen Rocky 2, then you'll fit in at home. It's almost like they remixed Rocky 2, 3, and 4, if that makes sense. Like they took like the best, like they took the best part of like those three movies and like updated them.
So does he do the "if I can change, you can change, we can all change" speech at the end?
No he does not. But shout out. Well, guess what? Shout out to Brigitte Nielsen because she's in there too.
Wow, really?
Yes. In a way, in a heartbreaking way. Like, she only shows up twice, and both of them are like, ooh, was like, the first one kind of made you, like, upset. The second one got people pissed. Like, it was just, yeah, she only shows up twice, but both her appearances makes it worthwhile. Like, This movie, more than any of them, probably did the best job since like Rocky One of fleshing out the opponent, like fleshing out like the adversary. Like you understood where Drago came from, why he was the way he was, both father and son. Like they do a good, almost too good a job of like making him like he's not the villain, he's the opponent, basically.
Yeah,
that's the best way to describe it. Like, he's just a dude that's fighting. It's a reason why he's the way he is, and it's kind of justified, and it ends in a real good way. And it's like, yeah, I would definitely say go see it in a movie theater. If you have, see, you're not a parent, so you have to worry. You know, you don't have kids, in other words. Yeah, do not see this if you have young children, because it's a part in this that's gonna break your damn heart. And I'll leave it at that. And somebody brought a baby, I was pissed because the baby kept crying and crying. And I'm like, if you don't take this damn baby out, I'm gonna punch you. That's why I was thinking, like, I was thinking that, and like, you know, you don't want to say don't blame the parent, but after a while, like, the baby's not gonna stop crying.
It's the player's fucking fault.
Leave the movie theater.
Kid didn't get there on its own.
Yeah, stop crying and bring them back. Or if they're going to keep on crying, go home. I did not pay to hear the baby. I paid to see the movie.
Well, but Shahid, what you don't understand, though, is after, you know, all the time being pregnant and that, and you know, you don't leave the house too much, and when you are, you're uncomfortable. You just want to get out and enjoy a night out at the movies.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty much the reaction I have, too. Well, you know what? Don't do that.
How about you take your TV outside on the porch, and then you could have a night out watching movies?
How about you pull out next time, asshole? That's not my responsibility for your stupid kid. Ugh, hate it.
We'll be back to the man show after these commercials.
Nah, dude, I can't stand that. I can't stand parents making excuses for why they become assholes after they have children. Kids sitting there screaming in a restaurant the whole time. Well, you know, you just learn to zone it out. Or, you know, if it's your kid, it doesn't matter. It's not, and I can't zone it out because I'm out with my adult friends. Go away. And I am perfectly, happily confident in saying I wouldn't mind a restaurant that said no kids. That would be so awesome. Because people bring their kids to the bars now.
Yeah, I'll call it a professional restaurant. No women, no kids. Those are the rules.
Yeah. I got no problem with that.
But yeah, I trust me, I definitely hate when people bring their kids because it's just like, it's just so damn aggravating. Like, I know you want to be out and about, but especially when it's like it's a PG-13, an R-rated movie, and it's like, we saw it's like seven of them. We saw it like late, so it's like, no. And then if your kids start crying and you can't stop them after like 10 seconds, leave the movie theater till they stop crying. Just be respectful. Like, you know, if you can't find a babysitter, you need to see the movie theater, that's bad, fine. Just be respectful to people you're around, because people are just going to be out. I'm surprised somebody didn't call the manager, because it was going on for a while, and people was kind of like, you could hear this kind of rumble, people was getting pissed, and then finally the baby stopped crying. I'll say this, because that's the first Rocky movie I saw in like a full theater. People were cheering on the fight.
Yeah.
It was clapping and stuff and everything. Like, it's just something that just, like, you get into it, and it's like, it's something about the energy when you see, like, those type of movies that, you know, it's something like a Rocky movie just brings out in you. So I'll say it's not as good as the first one. It's definitely enjoyable, so I would give it a recommend.
Yeah, it's funny with the Rocky movies, though. Especially with Stallone saying he won't play it again. Well, that's fine. Because it's not about Rocky anymore, anyways. So it's okay to step aside. Like, not knowing what happens in the movie, obviously. But then, I also see, like, I don't think he brought up his age. But if he does, my first question would be, well then, Rambo fighting Mexican drug dealers, isn't he a little old to be doing that too?
Yeah, I'm sure it ain't going to be a Rambo 6. Put it to you that way. I have the feeling with this Rambo movie, he's going to be dead at the end. It's just, I think it's different because he looked old in the last Rambo movie, but it didn't matter because he just still looked dangerous. Like, that's still one of the most violent movies I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and it's funny. Like, I didn't see that in the theater. I saw that on, like, I think, like, DVD.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm like, these people getting cut in half. Like, really cut in half. Not like a figure of speech. I'm like, I guess he wanted to show how violence really worked. And it's funny because I still remember that movie, how violent it was. And that movie came out a long time ago. It was like some stuff like you, it definitely sticks with you. So it's just funny. Like, I think of Sylvester Stallone, and I think of, like, you know, him and Vin Diesel, kind of like they like the same type of people. Because we've had this discussion, like, you know, The Rock kind of leans more toward Arnold Schwarzenegger as far as, like, how they look at movies and everything like that and how they carry themselves. And Stallone and Vin Diesel kind of, like, seem to have a lot in common where you couldn't picture their franchise. Like, you could picture a Terminator movie without Arnold Schwarzenegger, even though, like, he's known as the Terminator. You think of him as the Terminator, but it's like, that's not all he is.
Yeah.
You couldn't picture, like, a Rambo movie without Sylvester Stallone, or like a Rocky movie without, like, the movies, like his movies that he do, that's like him, you know. It's not like he's in the movies, like that's his movie, like it's almost kind of like that's his identity. And Vin Diesel the same way, like, you know, Fast and Furious, Triple X, and like Riddick, like, no, it ain't gonna be a Triple X movie with some, like, they tried that once with Ice Cube, it didn't feel right. They're not gonna have Triple X movies and it ain't Vin Diesel. Like, that's Vin Diesel's, like, that's him. That's what he does. Like, it'd be curious, because apparently him and Rock worked it out with, like, the next Fast and Furious movies. But it's just going to be curious how, not the spinoff that's coming out, because I'm sure that'd be fine, how Fast 9 is going to look. Because it's like you bringing Justin Lin back, if everybody's on the same page and working it out, and how that's gonna go. Cause I think the biggest thing with that one is, like, you didn't realize how important Paul Walker was till Paul Walker wasn't there.
Yeah.
And I kind of think we talked about it, but we kind of, like, took it for granted. Cause it's like, you know, it was the Vin Diesel show, and then it was the Vin Diesel and Rock show. And, like, Paul Walker just happened to be, like, you know, in the background, but then it's like, he was kind of the glue. And you notice how Fast 8, like, I enjoyed it, but it felt like metallic. It didn't feel, a lot of it didn't feel fun. And I think part of it was, like, the movie itself and how deep it, like, how serious it got. And then I think a lot of it was just happened, like, all the outside noise. Yeah. And it, like, it's left a bad, like, I don't want to see them fighting like that in real life. I just want to see stuff. I want people to get, movies, you enjoy movies better when people seem like they get along and enjoy themselves.
Yeah, and it's funny, one franchise, though, that does have a disposable leading man that have gotten consistently better, mind you, I mentioned this a while back, and I don't know if you've seen it yet. Have you seen Death Race Anarchy, or Pure Anarchy, on Netflix?
Is that... I've seen the...
It just came out.
Okay, no, I haven't seen the most recent, because I've seen almost all the other ones. I saw the one in the theater with Statham, and then I saw the two with Luke Goss,
and then
I even saw the one with Manu Bennett. Like, so I haven't seen the most recent one.
All right, this one is amazing. I've actually watched it twice. That's how much I enjoyed this movie. All right, one, it just takes place in the future. For whatever's happened with the other movies, like the Danny Trejo one, just whatever, right? So Luke Goss is not in this. They don't explain what happened. He's just not there. But Frankenstein is, and you never see who it is. So they basically taken it, and Frankenstein, you know, things have gotten worse and worse, but he's created his own community. And he's like this basically vindictive leader, and it goes against everything Frankenstein was in these other movies. He was just a dude trying to get out and save his family, you know, whatever. And but this one is violent, gratuitous nudity throughout the whole thing. Swearing, just everything you would want. Does it make a lot of sense? No. Just go with it. I couldn't believe how much fun I was having watching this movie. And then it occurred to me, it's an 80s movie.
There
just,
you go.
Just updated. Oh, the people, they're all scum. All of them. The heroes, a jerk off. Everything. Everyone sucks in this movie. But, like, for example, what I mean by 80s movie in this is, you got this post-apocalyptic world, all right? And they send in all these guys to capture Frankenstein. And Danny Trejo's a better, the Guy Benton, all this stuff. And of course, it doesn't go right. So, you know, instead of, like, hunkering down and be like, hey, we need to increase security. No, they go to this casino. Or, I'm sorry, not a casino. A strip club with a girl dancing. I mean, just close-up shots. She's doing the stripper spread eagle as they do, like, a tracking shot over her. So you're just getting full view of everything. There's a bar where, like, the guys are hitting on the girls. And the girls fight off the guys, and the girls start making out. And I'm like, I have not seen this since I was a kid. They just don't do these anymore.
No, they do not.
And it was so much fun. And it's a brisk hour and a half. But again, you never see what Frankenstein looks like in this one. I thought that was weird.
Well, I will definitely check this out because I actually like those movies of guilty pleasure. And it just reminds me, like, when you bring up the first one, Jason Statham, like, we can wrap it up. Jason Statham is, I think he's probably one of the most underrated movie stars we have.
Yes.
Because he's a handsome dude. He does action movies. His action movies tend to be successful. He makes money. He can do, like, drama stuff. And he can do funny stuff. Like, it's funny where you think of him being, like, one note. He's real, like, has a lot of range within a certain subtext. You know, like, because you just think about it. I'm still laughing at the fact that that damn shark movie made so much money. And no, I couldn't think, like, who else with maybe The Rock? And I don't even know if he could have been as good. Like, who else could have been in the Meg and that and would have been successful?
Oh, I'm and even
The Rock, I don't even think could have, like, he could have done it, but I don't think it would have been as well. Like, you know, Jason Statham fits a spot where people can't do what he can do. Like, you know, they can't. Like, you know, he has, like, you have action stars that's not as charismatic as him, and then the ones that maybe is charismatic can't play off, like, the drama and, like, the sadness and stuff because they're, like, The Rock can't be sad because he's too damn big. And whenever The Rock tried to play vulnerable, like, we talked about when we saw Snitch and he get bullied around. I'm like, how you getting bullied around while people are 150 pounds smaller than you? Like, you can try to scrunch up and have bad posture all you want. You're still The Rock. Especially now. I'm not talking about, like, skinny Disney Rock. I'm talking about current Rock. Like, it just, like, he can't. It's not that he doesn't have range. It's like he's a victim of his own look and size. Like, he can't do certain roles because it's not believable. Jason Statham's not a big dude. So he can do that. He can play funny. He can play wry humor or, like, them Looney Tunes crank movies. He can do that. And, like, he never, it's always kind of like he does the movie, like, he's in on the joke, but he plays it straight. I think it's the best way to describe. Like, he knows what type of movie he's in, but he never does anything like he feels like he's insulting you or he's making fun of you for watching him.
Yeah. Well, what was that movie he was in with Melissa McCarthy?
Oh, Spy. Oh, I
he was great
that
in that.
He was so damn funny. Like, some of the stuff he was saying was just ridiculous. Like, I pretended, like, one time I was so good undercover, I pretended to be Barack Obama. Yes. I'm like, what? I'm sitting here like, what? Like, I jumped out of a plane while I was on fire and got hit by another plane. And it's like, it's making fun of the fact because you used to Jason Statham being a badass and him, he being a, you know, he being like this loudmouth jerk. And every time he tried to do action stuff, he mess up 85% of the time, but does enough for the last 15% to, like, okay, I guess he's credible. And it's like, he can laugh at himself, but he's still like, you still take him seriously. Like, he's funny. Like, he was funny in the Italian Job.
Yeah.
Like, he's funny and stuff. The fact that he's just such an asshole in Furious 7, but him and The Rock get along so well that they making a movie. And it's like, I remember when they announced, I'm like, well, I'm not surprised. They got along fine. And it's like, yeah, how do they have such good chemistry? Because it was creepy good. Like, they hadn't done a lot of stuff together, and it's like they had way more chemistry than, like, Vin Diesel and The Rock ever had, or even, like, Vin Diesel or Paul Walker.
I think part of that's probably because they weren't competing against each other. Like, it was never going to be Statham's movie, and Rock, you know, maybe he wanted that one to be his, but you know, it's still going to be a Vin Diesel flick. So
yeah.
The two of them, and now, I mean, who's to say they weren't like, hey, I got an idea. Let's just, you know, work together, whatever else. Yeah. And you want to be in a Rock movie, it's going to make more than any of your movies.
So. I think it helps that they're both confident in themselves, where they don't feel like they have anything to prove, because they're both like a stat. Like, you know, Jason Statham, one of the few people he can make a movie, he'll be the star, and the movie will make money.
Yeah,
like it's a lot easier said than done these days. Like Tom Cruise isn't even guaranteed to do that all the time, depending on the movie he picked. Like Jason Statham come out with something, and if the budget makes sense, like they're gonna do a sequel to this Meg movie.
Well, you said they were based off books.
Books, yeah. So. And I remember people saying, I'm like, we can wrap it up soon.
Yeah,
I still thought that movie was gonna bomb. Because yes. Like that movie budget was like $170 million, and it's a PG-13 giant shark movie. I'm like, okay, it's gonna be a nice bad movie that's just gonna bomb and make money off of Blu-ray. And I went there on opening night and the theater's packed, and I'm like, boy, I don't know nothing. I'm like, somebody was way smarter than me, because people was packed and people was into it. And I'm like, I was reading about like how it's like, you know, shark movies do well, which they do, and people like Jason Statham. That's as simple as that. It's like, and you think about that, like if it was The Rock, no one would be surprised, because everyone likes The Rock. People still remember those Transporter movies. Like, people like Jason Statham, man. He's been doing this for a long-ass time. And it's kind of like, you never talk about him with action stars like you talk about everybody else. Like, you know, you talk about, of course, Stallone and Schwarzenegger and Kurt Russell. You talk about Seagal. And you talk about Van Damme. And then you can talk about, like, you know, Vin Diesel and The Rock. And for a while, Matt Damon. And Jason Statham been doing his thing all this time, and his name never comes up. It's like, his movies are successful, people like his movies, people talk about his movies, and we just like, and he dates a supermodel, so...
That's his wife, isn't it? I think they're married.
I know they're engaged, yeah, it's like, he's engaged to a supermodel, it's like, he living a damn life. Why are we sleeping on this man? That's why I put some posts on Twitter, like, we need to show respect for Jason Statham, like... Appreciate a talent that we have before he ages out.
Well, we got him for a while still. So, all right, listen, we got to get going because my nose just suddenly decided to jam up. So, yeah, thanks for listening, guys. We watch stuff on all social media. No, not social media. Stunt Granny on all social media, as well as your podcast platforms. You can also just look for We Watch Stuff for the podcast as well. So we'll be back next week, and thanks for listening.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahidu Hadi, and thank you for this funeral, because I got paid. We are out.